the reports of her treatment.
There's certainly things that I would expect not to be dismissed and for to be taken very seriously and addressed.
It comes as Labor leader Anthony Albanese rejected the News Corp assertions that female members of his party ostracised the late senator. Scott Morrison has warned that Australia is not immune from the negative global economic fallout from Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The Prime Minister told a business conference in Perth the world is facing the biggest energy shock since the 1970s. He says the fallout is likely to depress global growth and put greater pressure on family budgets. The comments come as new data suggests the Australian economy is only just heading back to its long-term trend after being hit by the COVID-19 Omicron variant in the early stages of 2022. Lawyers for the man accused of raping former Liberal staffer Brittany Higgins will lodge a permanent stay application in the case as they take steps to shut down media reporting ahead of the trial. Today, Bruce Lerman's lawyers told the ACT Supreme Court they would lodge a permanent stay application to halt court proceedings. If successful, it would mean Mr. Lerman will be unlikely to ever face trial. But lawyers said that if the permanent stay was not granted, they will ask for a delay in the trial. His lawyers are also calling on the media to remove published stories about the former parliamentary staffer's allegations to stop the trial going ahead. Mr. Lerman denies the alleged assault and is pleading not guilty. Indigenous organisations in the Northern Territory have backed calls for a ban on police guns when officers enter remote Indigenous communities. NT Police is under pressure to change its rules amid an outpouring of grief after Constable Zachary Rolfe was found not guilty of murdering an Indigenous man last week. Commissioner June Oscar says police in Western Australia's Kimberley do not carry guns and that move has been successful. She told RN there are ways to respond to incidents in Indigenous communities without carrying or using lethal weapons.
I don't think the use and carrying of guns into the situation is helpful. What is needed is communication with Aboriginal communities, and we work to keep the peace, not to win a fight and to have regrets, because there's no winners in that approach.
Almost all homes in some Victorian towns face flooding risk, which could potentially make them uninsurable. New analysis by climate risk analysis company Climate Valuation revealed that 92% of properties in Shepparton face high flood risk, while 8,000 could be at risk in Wangaratta and almost 3,000 properties in the towns of Horsham and Mildura could be affected. Climate Valuation says it's a case of when, not if, homes in at-risk areas could flood. Company CEO Dr. Carl Mellon told 3AW homes at the base of the Yarra River and low-lying properties are at risk of flooding.
The kind of combinations that we tend to be worried about are you're close to a big river, there may not be protections on that river to prevent flooding, the drainage systems may not be able to cope with, say, a 1 in 100 year event.
Turning to sport, Collingwood have lost Will Hoskin-Elliott and two assistant coaches to COVID-19 for their AFL season opener against St Kilda. New coach Craig McRae revealed today that Hoskin-Elliott and assistants Brendan Bolton and Josh Fraser are all isolating at home. They will miss Friday night's round one game against the Saints at Marvel Stadium.
National Radio News, produced by Charles Sturt University, the Community Radio Network, and supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.
Now for the latest weather on Alive 90.5.
It's 4 minutes past three on Alive 90.5 and it's currently 23 degrees outside and it does look like it's raining currently, but it looks like it's not going to be a sunny day. Possible showers, tops of 25 degrees. It's not looking pretty out there, I've got to say. Tomorrow, Thursday, and it's going to be the top of 27 degrees. Possible showers for tomorrow and Friday as well, with tops of 27 degrees there as well.
And now, on Alive 90.5, here's the latest traffic information.
In Arncliffe, the M5 East Motorway at the main tunnel, there's been a car breakdown, one of two westbound lanes closed. North Parramatta, James Roos Drive westbound off-ramp to Windsor Road, there's been a car breakdown, one of two westbound lanes closed. Lansdowne, the Hume Highway at Woodville Road, there's been a car breakdown, one of five eastbound lanes are closed. And in Sackville and Lower Portland, there's been a ferry out of service. Be sure to stay careful when you're driving out there on the rainy roads. You don't want to slip or slide. It's 5 minutes past three on Alive 90.5, and you're listening to The Business of Life with Mario and Matt. And we're live with Dean Lloyd, and this is an interesting conversation. Personally, I find it truly intriguing because I'm very invested in the mental health space. I call it mental fitness. That's what it's really about. How we can stay mentally strong and resilient and bounce back when times get rough. But I am intrigued by the mental journey of someone that goes through prison. It really is a journey because imagine yourself, you get taken away for something you know you did wrong. That's, and fair enough. Some people are wrongly convicted, which is a whole other story. But to know your freedoms are going to be taken away, I can't fully process that. I mean, the most I got is what? I was in hospital because I had my injury. And as a result, now I've had a lot of freedoms taken away because of how I got my injury and my attempted suicide. I was on a 24-hour watch and all that stuff, but it's not like I was confined quite like prison. I was still taken care of in a very, let's call it high quality setting, a hospital setting, but prison's a very different story. But with our guest, Dean Lloyd, I've got an interesting question that's been lingering on my mind for the last hour, ever since we started this conversation. So Dean, we've spoken heavily about labels, right? We've spoken heavily about how we need to change the way and shift the way we're talking about things in order for them to change. If we view things differently, maybe these burdens on people who did once go to prison won't be there. Does someone have the power to change themselves and become a different person? What's your take on that?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. And this is one of the reasons I am a big advocate for other words and the use of other language and different, you know, to remove the labels and the stigma that come with the labels. Because if, you know, it's a bit more ultimate for you because you're in a chair and you can't get it. I don't know, maybe you can, maybe you can't. But ultimately, if I'm labeled a criminal and you see me as a criminal, like if I come in here and it was like, oh, Dean's a criminal, be careful, blah, blah, blah. Like all of that stuff, it's very hard for me to get over and above that label in your eyes. And then you pass that on to Mario and Mario and pass. So everyone sees me. So how do I not become a criminal in your eyes? You know what I mean? So like the limiting nature of a label and the stigma that's attached stops me from bettering myself potentially in your eyes. However, if I believe that myself and I hear it enough, it's like, oh, well, I'm always going to be this guy and this is as far as I can go and I can't get past there and blah, blah, blah. Whereas, I've studied, you know, counselling and all of that sort of stuff and have worked in rehabs and blah, blah, blah. So I believe that people can change. I believe that people have the ability, when they're adequately resourced and supported, to change. Look, there's evidence everywhere in the world that people change all the time. It's very difficult to change when people continuously see you as the same thing all the time.
Of course, of course. Though, when it comes to changing, because Dean, you are a prime example of what it means to change. Previously addicted to heroin, went to prison, came out and turned his life around, now helping other people get out of the justice system, help them transition. But when it comes to, you know, transitioning, whether it be out of the justice system or whether it be transitioning to that new phase of life that you want to step into, that new person, what does it take?
Yeah, so this is where in the business and what I do, I take a safety first approach. So in order for people to change, they need to feel safe. They need to feel safe and secure in the ability for them to make mistakes and get it wrong. So what happens is in the process of trying to change, under stress, we regress. So the analogy that I like is you see these shoes in the window, you know, they're really comfortable, blah, blah, blah. They're not really comfortable. You just want them. You know, whether it's something new like that, you put them on and you fucking get sorry, you get blisters, yeah. You get blisters and all of that sort of stuff, you know what I mean? And it's like, oh, God, I don't want to wear these shoes, but you love them. Like, they look smart, you feel $10 million when you got them on, whatever it looks like, you know. However, it's like, oh, they're really hard to wear. So you default back to the old ones because they're comfortable and it's easy.
Yes.
So under the stress of the blisters and all of that sort of stuff, we'll go back to the old behaviour because it's familiar, it's easy, it's comfortable. So in that process of change, what do we need to understand and how can I resource myself enough to change and sustain change? Because a lot of people want to change. They want to do things differently and they want to be something or somebody else. But the commitment required to push through the blisters and, okay, get some Band-Aids. There's a resource. Whatever it is, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's the easiest analogy. I feel terrible because I'm talking about shoes. but, you know,
hey, that's the weather.
I'm just owning it. I'm just owning it, mate. You know what I mean?
That's as you should. So, yeah. Okay, so that's what's going on, right? So we have these old shoes that we wear, they're comfortable, and these blisters from these new shoes causing us pain. It's uncomfortable. We have to break into them, but it takes time to break into that. It's a new way of being. It's a new shoe to break into. So what can the individual do for themselves to help them break into that new shoe and that new way of being so that they can be the new person that not only they want to be, but society is as well?
You find other people that are wearing new shoes and you talk to them about the new shoes and how they're struggling. It's like, oh, wait a minute. I put some Vaseline on in the morning where the blisters are. So these are resources. So it's about what resources do you have? So this is through the communication and connection. So the more connected we are, we can become and understand what might work for me. So what worked for me might not work for Mario, might not work for you. However, Mario might have a mate and he might have something that works for me. But unless I talk to Mario and he tells me about his mate, how do I know? So yeah. It's about getting enough resources and understanding that I will need resources and what they might be. So you can go, oh, I'm going to buy a new pair of shoes. Oh, last time I'm going to get some Band-Aids because I know when I put the new shoes on, I'm going to get a blister. And I know where I get a blister because it's always the same spot. So I put the Band-Aid on. So there's a resource. How do I resource myself enough and stay connected? And this is what it comes back to for me is, and it really fed back into that health and mental health, for want of a better term. And the more I'm isolated and alone, the more I believe my thoughts, which can be totally insane at times.
Well, it's the only voice you're hearing in that point, right?
That's the voice.
How else can you hear anything or believe anything else?
That's my question, if I may, Dean. Like, yeah. You know, I mean, we don't know nothing about prisons, Matt. You know, I mean, all of you know that
we don't.
Bad people goes in prison. And some people are the bad, you know, they don't deserve a second chance, I'll be honest with you, and I don't want to need them because, you know, they will confine themselves, you know, on the other side of the bench between the court. But that being said, I say in a pause, you know, in a break. So my question is, when you're in a prison, obviously you're living someone, I'll call regimental life, you know, you wake up, you go in the morning for the breakfast, whatever, work, you know, but it's regimental. You continue repeating day after day. Situations, but my question is, how you keep yourself sane? How you keep your mind on track? What you want to do? Like, if somebody says to me, Matt, now you know you're gonna get 25 years. I'm now 49. You know, what my life looks like? You know, for 25 years. You know, I mean, I'll not be 16. I'm gonna be 80 years old, man. So, what I try to say, it's, how do you occupy your mind to stay sane? Because I truly believe, and you can help me to understand, I think that will be recipe for me to find a way to actually end up my life. So how do you keep yourself sane in everyday repetition? I don't say you don't meet new prisoners. I don't say you don't go and exercise. But it's repetition. You just in those four walls and the bigger four walls, fences and everything square. If I understood correctly, how do you, Dean, stay sane? How do people can do rehab in prison?
Yeah, rehab can't happen in prison. I don't believe personally. But
oh, okay.
Really? Isn't that the whole purpose of prison?
So, yeah, isn't it like in American shows, no, like reality shows, they go in prison, they're all drawing something.
That's what we're all told.
Come on. Yeah, Matt, please.
Yeah, we're all told that's what prison is. It's a place to rehabilitate these people. What are you who laughing, Dean?
Like, as if you know, you've been in prison like only once. So, you know, I mean, like you just know something.
If you so you've read the statistics out about recidivism, it's about 50%. Yeah,
about 56%.
So do you know the statistics for drug and alcohol rehabs and treatment facilities?
No,
it's about 2%.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Wow, so that raises alarm.
Success, 2%. So if people...
Oh, that's a success, okay.
2% success, yes. Okay. So this is why I argue with people that want to reform prison, right? To be more rehabilitative. It's like, you're already at 48%, 50%. Why do you want to go back to 2%? We don't need to make prison more comfortable and rehabilitative. We need to make society more accommodating and understanding.
I'm going to ask a pretty touching question on this. Do you think it's sending the wrong message out to the public?
What?
If we are more accommodating of criminals?
Yeah. In the community? Like,
so for example...
So if you've been sentenced, then you finish your sentence. Why shouldn't we be more? Like, what? If your brother done time for the same thing that I did, why wouldn't you want him to be a productive member of society?
No, absolutely. I agree.
Matt, you're absolutely right. But you see, nobody says on sentencing, oh, Mario, when you finish your 45 years, you know, hard labor in whatever, some prison here in Australia, you know what I mean? When you return to society, society's going to embrace you because you pay the debt to society. Nobody says that.
And, well, the thing is, this is the overwhelming misconception. My punishment really didn't start until I finished my sentence.
Wow.
Wow.
See again, so, your punishment.
So the illusion that I've finished a 4-year prison sentence, completed my parole, done it all, right? That a judge that's meant to be higher than everybody else because they're a learned person. So for them to, for them to predetermine that I get 4 years, and then the illusion that I'm going to, at the end of that 4 years, I'm a free man. However, the perpetual punishment that has been visited upon me with the criminal records, human rights,
the labels,
so the
and
illusion
all
that I'm going to be free, that's the hardest part, is because, wait a minute, I've done the wrong thing. I admitted I've done the wrong thing. I'm not questioning that whatsoever. You've predetermined a punishment for me, yet when I've finished that predetermined time, you still want to exclude me and isolate me. And this goes back to the mental health thing, is like, if you exclude and isolate me from certain situations and scenarios, that's how I got to being suicidal, because I was excluded. I wasn't allowed to participate the same as everybody else.
Wow. Because, I mean, the picture came to my mind. It's like, Dean, you could be, or anyone who did once go to prison, they could be walking down the street in the city, and they could get people smiling at them and people thinking they're a great person. Then they hear they're a criminal and all of a sudden their face change. Yeah. It's amazing what a label can do.
But, you know, like, if I can add, you know, at my age now, right? And when I was growing up, particularly society I was growing up back in communism, like tattoos, right? If somebody has a tattoos, like some particular tattoos on the finger, you know, here, like, you know, like a square, you know, I mean, 4 dots in the middle, like it was in prison or... You know, I can see the young kids putting all these tattoos like tears is killer, you know, this shit. People before perceived people with tattoos as evil people.
Mm.
Now, if you have no tattoo, like, you're, oh, God, what's wrong with
you're
you,
naked.
Man? Yeah, like, so, but see, that's how it is. Like, if you're looking aesthetically acceptable to society through the tattooing or whatever it is, then, you know, it's okay. It's fine. But somehow, when you say that person is in prison, honestly, I believe that people deserve second chance.
I absolutely agree.
Because I begged in my life for second chance in few instances. And it was not being sentenced in a prison, right? So person who's been placed into the custody of the state, into four walls, end up, yes, society should be taught to accept those people. Ladies and gentlemen, listening live, 90.5. the live business of life with Matthew Caruana and Mario Beckes. And please, I'm inviting you tonight after 6:30 p.m. Come on our website, alive905.com.au. There's a podcast, The Business of Life with Matt and Mario. This interview with Dean Lloyd, it's something you must. So stay tuned. We come back after break.
Alive 90.5. We are Invictus Partners, an Australian company specialising in checking software usage across the major vendors like SAP, Oracle, IBM, Microsoft and VMware. Are you looking to reduce your software fees? Are you worried about being audited? Are you migrating to the cloud? Do you need help working out your software usage versus entitlements? Contact us at Invictus Partners today before you get hit with a compliance fine. Go to www.invictuspartners.com to arrange a no-obligation discussion to see how we can help you. Station sponsor.
We all know that paying for a funeral can be a financial burden. However, have you ever thought of paying off a prepaid funeral? With none of the ongoing premiums that is associated with funeral insurance, $1,000 can get you started. Hills Family Funerals, a family-owned and operated business of 35 years, can make it easier for you. Call 02 9659 0900. Ask for Richard Spiteri or speak to one of the friendly staff members to learn how. Get assistance today. Call Hills Family Funerals, station sponsor.
Alive 90.5.
Open up the champagne, pop. It's my house, come on, turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you've been. Pour yourself something cold, baby, cheers to this. Sometimes you gotta stay in, and you know where I live. Yeah, you know what we is. Sometimes you gotta stay in. Welcome to my house, baby, take control now. We can't even slow down, we don't have to go wild. Welcome to my house. Morning comes and you know that you wanna stay. Close the blinds, let's pretend that the time has changed. Keep our clothes on the floor, open up champagne. Let's continue tonight, come on, celebrate. That's how we do. Sometimes you gotta stay in, and you know where I live. Yeah, you know what we is. Sometimes you gotta stay in. Welcome to my house, baby, take control now. We can't even slow down, we don't have to go wild. Welcome to my house, play that music too now. Show me what you do now, we don't have to go wild. Welcome to my house. Your house, if you throwing it back. Excuse me if my home draining the sand. Soon as these happy faces land, you can run with the cash. Home run, slam dunk, touchdown pass. Mi casa es tu casa, so it ain't no holding back. Another shot of vodka, you know what's in my glass. It's my house, just relax. Welcome to my house, baby, take control now. We can't even slow down.
Thanks for listening to the best in community radio, Alive 90.5.
Hexagon Home Loans is your trusted mortgage broker. We focus on providing you with personal service and expert advice to help you find the home loan which best suits your requirements. Ranging from first home loans, refinancing, investment home loans, self-employed home loans, debt consolidation and SMSF loans. With a large network of lending institutions at our fingertips, we can assist you in making a well-informed decision that will save you time and money. Call us on 1300 562 649. Australian Credit Licence 504481. Station sponsor.
What's on at Workers? Enjoy free live music every Saturday night at Workers Blacktown. Every Saturday night and Sunday afternoon at Workers Sports. And every Sunday afternoon at Workers Hubertus. Plus, enjoy a full range of dining facilities. Visit the website at www.workersclub.com.au for the full music schedule, plus plenty of other activities including raffles, bingo, promotions and fun events. Workers is your club. Station sponsor.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the studio. Listening online at 95.5, the business of life with Matthew Caruana. And I bet Matt has some more questions for our guest in the studio, Dean Lloyd.
You got that right. And I can't get enough of this conversation. Honestly, I'm just like, the past hour and a half has just honestly flown for me.
You did, yeah.
This is crazy. Dean, so we talk about people, and if we want, and this is what comes to my mind, if we want society to change the way we view people that have gone to prison, that you know, have made mistakes in the past, and we've all made mistakes, do you think everyone believes a second chance? Everyone deserves a second chance?
No. So the language...
I asked Dean.
No second chances for you, Murray. So the thing that... And I really try to shy away from second chance because it's a rigid thing. It's like, I've given you a second chance, mate. What I needed was opportunities. I needed opportunities to fall over.
So what's the difference?
So second chance is like you get a second chance.
Mm.
Opportunities, I needed opportunities to, you know, to negotiate my way back in and understand and fall and get picked up. And like, so the way that the punitive model works now is if you get out and you fall over, we'll all come over and give you a good kicking and you have to go back to jail, whatever it is. Whereas the way that I work and I work with people is if you fall over, I come over and I stick my hand out. I go, mate, fuck, you're taking some skin off your knees. That looks fucking painful.
Yeah.
How can I help you back up? Let's get a band-aid. Let's find a solution. What have you learned? Like if people are willing to learn and wanting to, you know, change and they want to, they go, oh, fuck, you know, it was so close, but I fucked it up again. It's like, you know, and then not everyone is deserving of like 55 opportunities of, you know what I mean? Like people get sick of that shit too. Like they got sick. Many people have been sick of the shit and the carry on that I've had over the years. You know, it's sort of the love that only a parent can give.
Yes.
You know, if you've got kids and it's like, okay, you know, let's dust him off again. He's a bit of a fucking idiot. Sorry. Yeah. He's a bit of an idiot.
I'm telling you, you're gonna get every time you say some swear word, you're gonna do 50 push-ups. You know what I mean? Like, because we don't wanna nobody complain.
Yeah, yeah. Apologies for swearing. Okay.
So, you know, I do have that, you know, Matt, we spoke about, you know, a little bit of mental health, but I wanna ask something maybe related to mental health, but it's not mental health. Dean, you witnessing last couple of years, everybody talks about leadership and everybody talks about resilience. Now, it's all the blahs, 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 because everything's pink and rosy. But when somebody puts you into a cage with a couple hundred, couple thousand, I'm not sure how many people fits in prison, right? Let's just say a couple hundred. You need to fight for yourself to become, you know, resilient. Am I wrong with that one? Because, you know, suddenly you take away everything from you. Not just the freedom. Like, freedom, it's you're paying your price for your crimes. But you have no access to cinema, for example. You know, for the coffee shop in the morning, you know, I mean, let's go walk in Gloria Jeans and McDonald's with a cafe, and I mean, piccolo latte or something like this. You know, I mean, like, let's have that nice salad for lunch. Suddenly being stripped of everything what you know in your life, and suddenly to adapt yourself, adjust to something new, and this is resilience. Am I wrong with that, Dean, or what?
No, so my experience has been the most resourceful and resilient group of people I have ever met. have been people in that situation. You have to adapt. You have to become... You don't have to, but if you don't, it's sort of survival of the fittest, and like, how do you become resilient? And the resort, like, the it's, you know, the show MacGyver.
Mm-hmm.
So prisons like that, it's just full of MacGyvers. So this is where I come in and start talking to businesses about this sort of stuff. If you're looking for a diverse, resourceful and resilient group or workforce, then you have to have at least one or two people that have, you know, or you have to have the space for them. You don't have to have them, but you need to. So my belief in diversity is it's not about ticking a box and going, okay, we've got a guy that's, you know, First Nations person. We've got a person from, you've got to have a seat for them to sit down when they're ready to come. That's all it is. It's not about going, we need to tick a box because we need to have, you know, someone that's got a disability. We need to have someone, because it's really tokenistic and it doesn't play out that well when you force one person to be that person, the token guy. So or everyone will go, oh, okay, so Matt, you got a disability. You get all the questions about disability. I don't know, like, this happened to me when I was 18. I don't know how old you were, but so you don't know what it was like to come up like that as a kid, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So you
can't
answer those questions, can you?
No, God, no.
So that's around, okay, well, we need to have the door open for somebody that has been in a chair all their life. It's not about going, we have to have them. We're just open to having them. When they're ready and the time presents, it's like, okay, we need to be open and willing to employ somebody that has this experience. And a diverse workforce is a healthy workforce. And like, there's a lot, like you said, it's that pink cloud and it's all that talk now. However, you know, change in the workplace and culture, you know, people want it, but they haven't got that appetite for it because it's like, oh, it's really uncomfortable.
It's that old, it's that new shoe, right?
Exactly. You got it straight away, mate. So it's like, okay, what do we need and what resources do we need to be able to wear these shoes continually all the time? And that comes back to me. I'm that guy. I can give you access and I understand certain resources that you'll need to create and develop and design a workforce that is diverse and healthy. So change is different, right?
Can you demonstrate to us through some examples where you know that ex-offenders become a good workforce? You don't need to name the companies or maybe what field, what occupation and...
That goes back to that labelling of, like, where are they best suited? It's like, where do you want to work? Where's the job that you want to work? And that's about the diversity.
So it comes down to the individual, right?
It comes back to the individual. So I can go, oh, wait a minute, there's heaps of jobs in construction.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't look. I can get you a job as a cleaner. I don't want to be a cleaner. Like, if I wanted to be a cleaner, I could do that myself, irrelevant of, like, criminal records and all that sort of stuff. So it's like, what do you want to do? And about finding, so this is where my, you know, conduit is around going, okay, Matt, you want to be a race car driver, for argument's sake. Mario, you want to be a butcher.
Okay. Fine.
But I'm just yes, I want to be actually, modern. Sorry, Mario, what do you want to be?
The Men's Health front cover. Page magazine.
Okay. Yeah, no, but it's about asking, like, so I've made you
the question, right?
I said who you were going to be, but what would you want to do if you had the choice?
If I had the choice, definitely I'm going to be traveling internationally as a speaker, not just speaking at other people's events, but my own events that I'm running.
Well, if the guy from Wall Street,
I was about to bring him up, Jordan Belfort.
Yeah, like, you know, like, and he's becoming
manipulated a lot of people, and now he's starting to turn his life around.
Now he's manipulating by the reform prison.
So this is the interesting thing. All the studies and the research that has been done, and you read out a few statistics before, the only The only one where there's no real increase in benefit is in sales, because it's already open to shifty business. So there's no odd, isn't it? So, yeah, as in, you know, trying to get someone, because it's prone to, you know, embellishing and
manipulation and all that stuff. Yeah.
You know, I try to understand one thing. You said something very, very powerful, Matt, in conversation. Dean said in conversation with you. And what Dean actually said, that the real punishment actually started with the moment when he left the prison. So the punishment is not the prison, but the punishment actually starts the moment you come to the door of the prison back into society. Because actually society is punishing you. Am I right?
Yeah, it's you've hit the nail on the head there, Mario, because it's like the illusion is, or what I've been told is, and most people, when you say, like, the day of release, like, it's a really scary time. Because what happens is, you're in this really intense and violent environment, and everything that you need to do and survive is the opposite of what. So as soon as that happens, here you go, get out there and up. So it's the opposite of what you need to do to survive out here.
I was going to say, you almost become institutionalized.
It is. That's you got the word.
Yeah, because you're.
Clever thinking.
You're around that because you're in this environment where there's violence going on, all this stuff. Like people, but like. You're there for years. That's a, for argument's sake, 5 years. You're there. You've adapted. You fit into that shoe well and truly now. And coming back to society.
In prison, violence is a solution. Like it is. Mm. So if we disagree, we fight. We get up, we shake hands, and it's done. That's the solution. Because that's the only solution we have. If we, Mario, you whatever. Okay, up in the shower block, let's punch on. We punch on. We get up. One wins, the other one loses. It's just the way that it is. And then we get up, we shake hands, and we could become best of friends after that. But that's the solution.
Is it like that?
It is. Really? And so what I try, and the analogy here is, it's a hammer, right? So if I've only got a hammer, everything's a nail. Right, so I just bang it. That's what I do because that's my solution. I've got a hammer, and my solution, everything is bang, bang, bang. However, all of a sudden, I go, wait a minute, mate. If you turn that around and it's a claw hammer, I can take that out. I've got two solutions. So, wait a minute. I don't have to smash.
I just love how you explain this metaphorically. But before we go for the break, if I may ask you two questions. I know that you will not mind this one, okay? It's my for my perusal only. One, how do you know what's happening outside in the world? Do you have a TV's news or something? And secondly, in prison, right? Do you get any desserts? Like, you know, I don't see, I'm serious.
I don't know. It's a valid question. Because
no, honestly,
you don't
know. I'm honestly asking because, like, you know, imagine how, you know, you've been put somewhere, there's no. TV,
no Nutella.
Right? There's
imagine
no,
that.
No Nutella in prison, man. That's
well,
crazy.
So you don't get fruit generally because you can make homebrew. We can get fruit, but you won't get sugar. So you get like a sweetener. Yeah. However, they've just built Clarence Correctional Facility, which is the 1,700 bed U-Butte technological. So everyone has their own tablet. Mm. You can 24.95 a month. You can watch Netflix, not Netflix, but like access movies.
Yeah.
Yes, you get desserts. I'm not a big dessert guy, but
I am.
Yeah, yeah. But no, like, there is dessert in prison.
Because when you said you've been in prison, you've been in cell, you know, a couple of days before New Year's Eve, right? And all these things happening, and you know. Suddenly, those all these things disappear. So, what I try to imagine, like being in that position, suddenly, in an environment which is very hostile, very violent, nobody cares for you. You're just an institution to chew you in and spit you out, because it's the way how the law works. And then you are in a society which, for me, will be detrimental. It's like, you know, I think, as much as funny looks like I'm asking for dessert, right, and the sweets. Right, I think I'll be cabalistic with some things because those small things which makes me happy, suddenly there's not even available for me anymore. I just said that, you know, just take my life.
Yeah,
No, so there's access to, so you have a what's called as a buy-up. So weekly canteen.
Yeah.
And this is the, so you might be able to buy a packet of Tim Pams, but they might charge you $8 instead of $2. Yeah. So this is so it's how many times, so this is the issue that I believe, is how many times can we punish you? It's like, is in the, like, Scandinavian, those sorts of areas, the punishment is the term away from society. That's what's, they can have PlayStations, they can buy their own groceries, cook, they have access to everything. They have their own one bedroom cell that they have keys to, they can come and go. Their recidivism rates, I think, about 30-ish% on general. So the more humanely people are treated, and the more evidence suggests that the more points of contact you have in reality, the less chance you are of reoffending.
Well, we have a long way to learn. So, ladies and gentlemen, listen to Line 90.5. Our last break before the end of the show, in the next segment, Matt and Dean's going to talk how they think and help to people who want to rehab in Beckham society. Listening to Line 90.5, The Business of Life with Matt Jacaranda, Mary Beckerson, our guest in studio, Dean Lloyd.
Alive 90.5.
McGrath Estate Agents understand that selling your home is one of the most important financial decisions you'll ever make. With award-winning teams in the hills, their service goes above and beyond any other to create great results and lifelong relationships to deliver the best possible result. Brett Humby of McGrath Estate Agents will unlock value in your home you never knew existed. To realise more and experience the McGrath Advantage with Brett Humby, head to mcgrath.com.au or search Brett Humby today. Station sponsor.
We are the Insight Intelligence Group, specialising in Australian corporate investigations and information risk management, workplace investigations, competitor analysis, social media intelligence, reputational risk management, internal or external investigations. Professional and proactive, Insight Intelligence Group works with you to ensure the success of the investigation. Australia-wide or global, facts, not opinion. 02-882-9837. Insight intelligence.com.au.
Station sponsor.
This is your sound,
your community.
Alive 90.5.
Oh my god, Becky, look at her butt. It is so big. She looks like one of those rap guys' girlfriends that, you know, who understands those rap guys? They only talk to her because she looks like a total prostitute, okay? I mean, her butt is just so big. I can't believe it's just so round. It's like out there. I mean, gross. Look. She's just so flat.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. That when a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull up tough because you notice that butt was stuck. Deep in the jeans she's wearing. I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh, baby, I wanna get whipped up and take your picture. My homeboys tried to warn me, but that butt you got makes
me so horny.
Ooh, rumpa smooth skin. You say you wanna get in my bins? Well, use me, cause you ain't that average groupie. I seen her dancing to hell with romance, and she's sweat, wet. Got it going like a turbo vet. I'm tired of magazines, send flat butts all the thing. Take the average black man and ask him that. She gotta pack much back. So fellas,
yeah,
fellas,
yeah.
Has your girlfriend got your butt?
Hell
tell
yeah.
Her, shake it,
shake it,
shake it,
shake it,
shake it. Shake that healthy butt. Baby got bad
light face with the open booty.
Round and big, and when I'm throwing a gig, I just can't help myself. I'm acting like an animal. Now here's my scandal. I wanna get you home and double up. I ain't talking about Playboy, cause silicone parts are made for toys. I want them real thick and juicy, so find that juicy double. Mix a lot's in trouble, begging for a piece of that bubble. So I'm looking at rock videos,
Not need bimbos walking like hoes. You can have them bimbos. I'll keep my women like Flojo. A word to the thick soul sisters. I wanna get with ya. I won't cuss or hit ya. But I gotta be straight when I say I wanna. Till the break of dawn. Baby, got it going on. A lot of simps won't like this song. Cause them punks like to hit and quit it. And I'd rather stay and play. Cause I'm long and I'm strong. And I'm down to get the friction on. So ladies,
yeah.
Ladies,
yeah.
If you wanna roll my Mercedes,
yeah.
Then turn around, stick it out. Even white boys got to shout. Baby got back. Baby got back.
Yeah, baby. When it comes to females, Cosmo ain't got nothing to do with my selection. 36, 24, 36. Only if she's 5'3.
So your girlfriend rolls a Honda, playing workout tapes by Fonda. But Fonda ain't got a motor in the back of her Honda. My Anaconda don't want none unless you got buns, hun. You can do side bends or sit-ups, but please don't lose that butt. Some brothers wanna play that hard role and tell you that the butt ain't gold, so they toss it and leave it. And I pull up quick to retrieve it. So Cosmo says you're fat. Well, I ain't down with that. Cause your waist is small and your curves are kicking. And I'm thinking about sticking to the beanpole dames in the magazines. You ain't it, Miss Thing. Give me a sister, I can't resist her. Red beans and rice didn't miss her. Some knucklehead tried to diss. Cause his girls are on my list. He had game, but he chose to hit him. And I pull up quick to get with him. So ladies, if the butt is round and you want a triple X throwdown, dial 1-900-MIX-A-LOT and kick them nasty thoughts. Baby got back. Baby got back. Little in the middle, but you got much back. Little in the middle, but you got much back. Little in the middle, but you got much back. Little in the middle, but you got much back.
Alive 90.5.
We are Invictus Partners, an Australian company specialising in checking software usage across the major vendors like SAP, Oracle, IBM, Microsoft and VMware. Are you looking to reduce your software fees? Are you worried about being audited? Are you migrating to the cloud? Do you need help working out your software usage versus entitlements? Contact us at Invictus Partners today before you get hit with a compliance fine. Go to www.invictuspartners.com to arrange a no-obligation discussion to see how we can help you. Station sponsor.
SE Timbers Castle Hill are flooring experts. Not just flooring, SE Timbers supply, install and guarantee solid timber, engineered, laminate and vinyl flooring, as well as carpet, blinds and shutters. An authorised dealer of major brands like Boral, Preference and Quickstep. Call 98946660 or visit setimbers.com.au to arrange a free quote today. Station sponsor, SE Timber Floors and Shutters, ingrained quality.
Learn something new in 2022 with the Parramatta College. Term 1 courses are open for enrolment and include business and work skills, computer skills, leisure and lifestyle, languages. The Parramatta College also offer New South Wales government funded courses. Eligibility criteria applies. Improve your personal and professional development with the Parramatta College. Enrol today. Call 9687 2072. That's 9687 2072. Or visit parramattacollege.edu.au. Station sponsor.
It's 12 minutes to 4 on Alive 90.5. You're listening to The Business of Life with Mario and Matt, and we're live with Dean Lloyd in our last segment. Unfortunately, this last 2 hours, I mean, has flown. But let's just cut straight to it. Let's just cut the caca because I want to get straight to it.
I just
50 push-ups, mate. Like,
yeah. Yes, of course.
What am I waiting for?
Dean had done it 5,000 so far.
But Dean, so one thing I want to leave every listener on is with empathy, understanding. So the thing is, society doesn't really have a good understanding of people that go to prison. We have this idea based off movies, based off what we see on the media, but from an actual real experience, one thing I love to empathize, even myself, what is going through, what's someone's experience like when they go through prison? And how can I do my best to understand someone else if they're in the community and I find out they have a criminal history? Okay, we all make mistakes. How can I understand where they're at so I can best do my part to remove the stigma?
Really appreciate that question, mate. Thank you. My honest belief is anything over 5 years prison sentence is a life sentence, because you will never get out and be the same person again. I only done a couple of years, and when I got out, I was a very angry individual, mainly because that's how I had to survive. I thought violence was a solution. It took me a long time to get out of that. Still today, I will quite easily transition back to, hey, let's punch it. Like, come on, let's have a go. So I think what I try to do and how I try to talk to people and teach people, like if I go into a business or an organization, I was like, if you have an issue with the individual, call me, don't call them. Be open-minded enough to try and use different terminology and vernacular around, you know, if someone says, what, you want to fight me? He's like, no, I don't want to fight you. I want to help you. I want to understand how I can help you. It's about having a different conversation. Why would I want to fight you? I don't want to fight. Like, what's that going to solve, fighting anybody? You know what I mean? In jail, I get it, because that is, like I said before, it's a solution. However, what is it that you need help with? So working in the community sector, and, you know, I was working in drug and alcohol centres and treatment facilities for men being released. And what I would do when the situation was elevated is I would just go and sit down and talk to them quietly and keep my voice at the same level. Oh, what happened? He stole your Fruit Loops. Oh, wow. That must be hard. Can you tell me a bit more about how you feel about that? Don't worry about how I feel. 50 more push-ups. I'm going to be buff by the time I leave. So, you know, it's about staying with them or with people at a level of, okay, that sounds difficult. I imagine this is what I imagine the situation to be. But can you just explain it to me? Can you tell me what the situation is? Because overwhelming, and I don't know how this isn't true for everybody, but what triggers somebody isn't the stealing of the Fruit Loops. It's the disrespect from the years and years and years ago of their unresolved, of like not having a space to be able to go, oh, when Dave took my shoelaces in year two, like, I didn't have the language to go, Dave, that's terrible. Why did you do that to me? Why would you take my shoelaces?
So, Dave, before we go, Matt, you agree with me. We need to touch the last most important question. This is, how do you help other people? What way, how they can find you?
So, dean@otherwords.com is my email. Follow on all the social media pages, #otherwords, and otherwords is with a Z.
I was thinking my English is better.
That was a conscious decision around, course, yeah. It's another word. It's a different.
Yeah.
It's different. It's you know, so other words on social media is a safe place to use the hashtag to teach people how you would prefer them to refer to you as, you know, don't call me a criminal, I'm a dad, a surfer. Refer to me as a surfer, please. Those sorts of, and then if you go onto LinkedIn, Dean M. Lloyd, if you type that in, I'm the first one that comes up. If you want to get in contact with me, so Lloyd Consulting, Lloyd Criminal Consulting, business done differently. We provide systems of change and solutions of change for individuals, teams, businesses. We teach them how to, diversity by design. So how to incorporate and value diversity in the workplace. Because as I said, like, change is different. People want change and they say they want change, but, you know, what's different about, like, you know, if nothing changes, nothing changes.
That old adage. Their actions speak louder than their words.
Yeah, so, you know, to be able to sit in difference and uncomfortability, I look at teaching people the language and other words they use, can use. Like I said before, like, I feel guilty talking about shoes like I owned it. And that took, because I was at that stage, I couldn't look you in the eye because I was like, oh, I feel terrible because I've started down that avenue and I can't go back. However, me saying that to you, I feel terrible about starting that. You're like, oh, it's, you know, you didn't brush it aside, but it was acknowledged. And if we had the space, there'd be a different conversation and we'd be able to unpack it a little bit if you needed to, if I needed to. So they're the things that I teach people how to do is, okay, the difference is, you know, I like red juice, you like blue juice. It's like, okay, well, we can, where's the value in me understanding why you like red juice and you understanding why I like blue juice?
It's a lot of empathy, understanding.
Connection.
Yes.
Is key. And the differences in culture. I love culture. I love different cultures. And I love learning from different cultures. Like, who doesn't like a good Chinese? Like, you know, stereotype, you know, a kebab. Like, all of these other cultures that have, you know, invaded Australia, let's say. What can I learn from them? And how? What value have they brought to this country? And how? And as well as the value that the first people have. Yes. To provide for me as well.
There's so much we can learn from people we don't understand. But Dean, remind us, how can we get in contact with you again?
Dean at otherwordswithaz.com, Dean M. Lloyd on LinkedIn, or hashtag otherwordswithaz on all the social pages.
Lovely. And Dean, lastly, I just want to say thank you very much for your time in studio today. Seriously, this conversation, I'll say it again, has flown. Me and Mario have been, we're honestly in gratitude for you for being so open, so willing to share, so willing to give your time. We're definitely going to have you back. I mean, this conversation's not finished. And thank you very much, truly.
Most welcome. I really appreciate the space. Thanks, guys.
You're and welcome. That was another episode of The Business of Life.
Sorry, I was just checking the prisoner's bride. So, you know, I mean, that's not, that doesn't work. So, Dean, thank you very much for being our guest today. Come on, give us a 50.
Till next week, you're listening to Live 90.5, The Business of Life with the Matthew Caruana, Mario Beckes, and our guest, Dave Lloyd. Thank you, Dave, again. And we'll see. Dean. Okay. I prefer my way. Dave Lloyd. Actually, Dean. Dean Lloyd. And see you next week.
Every time the sun goes down, I let you take control.